learn tonight through 10 different Divrei Torah I came across preparing this year. And we'll do one by one, of course. Now let's start with the number one. There are five sides here. There's six pages, but five sides to work through. So the first one, number one, is Lekach Valiba, which is written by Rav Avram Shor. And he asks I'm not going to read everything inside. You could follow the underlines if you'd like. But he asks the very basic question that many, many Mefarshim ask on the Haggadah, particularly on Halach Manya, as to why Halach Manya is in Aramaic, while, of course, the rest of the Haggadah is in Hebrew. And number two, he asks, why do we begin the Seder in such a way? Why is Halach Manya the first part, the introduction to the entire Seder? So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Chesma Beis, that tells us that Rav Yehuda Marav, that Adam Arishon spoke Lashon Arami, he spoke Aramaic. That's the language that he spoke. So the Torah Shor says that when Adam Arishon was created, so he was created with a combination of the Elyonim and the Tachtonim. Some of him came from above and some of him came from below, so that there shouldn't be any kinna and my separation is not to have any jealousy. So he was created part animal and part malachim. The Gemara in Chagiga says this as well. So which elements did he have that were similar to malachim? He had two elements similar to malachim. Adam was, he ate and drank, first like a behema. He ate and drank like a behema, and puravu like a behema. Those are the two elements that equated Adam to behema. At the same time, Adam Arishon had two factors that equated him to a malach. That he was like the Elyonim, in that Adam Arishon, he walks standing up, bakom is a kufa, and he also has das like malachim. So we see that Adam was very much balanced in having two factors like a behema and two factors like a malach. But the third level, the fact that malachim speak Lashon HaKodesh, and Adam Arishon didn't, that wasn't relevant because that would create an imbalance. So it was two and two. But then what happened after the chait of Adam Arishon, he ate from the Eitz Hadas, and then he was cursed with Misa. So now Adam Arishon had a third factor, that he was like a behema. And now there was an imbalance, so in order to equal everything out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a third factor to make Adam like a malach, and gave him Lashon HaKodesh, so now it was three and three. But that was only after the chait of Adam Arishon. But now Pesach night, particularly Halach Manya, where we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should be next year, Shana Haba Yishalayim B'nei Chorin, we want to get to the point of Tchias HaMesim, where there is no longer Misa, so then if Misa were down to two factors like a behema, we need to remove Lashon HaKodesh to only have two factors like a malach, and we resort back to Kodem, Adam Arishon, of speaking only Lashon Arami. So that's why Halach Manya is in Lashon Arami, to go back to where it was prior to Chait Adam Harishon. Okay, that's the first word. The second one is also from Rav Avram Shor in Lekach Valibov. And he's also discussing the Indian of Kaldich V'nyes V'yechal, the call of Halach Manya, that we see there's a strong emphasis on Hachnasas Orachim when it comes to the Yontiv of Pesach. Firstly, that we start off the Seder inviting guests in, that there's an Indian of Mal Schitim to help the Aniyim. And Pashup Shat, he explains, is because one of the ways to show that we're free, that we're kings, we're malachim, is to invite whoever we want and help everyone around us. That's a Pashup Shat. It's a time of chayrus, and one of the ways you display chayrus is by inviting guests over. But Rav Avram sure wants to take it a little bit deeper, as he does normally, and he says as follows. We know there are two basic averas we have in the Torah. There's Bein Adam L'Chavero and an Isser Bein Adam L'Makom. Typically, the Seres Adibros, the first five are Bein Adam L'Makom, the second five are Bein Adam L'Chaver. So he says that's what's represented. The Torah's Kohanim, we're now in Sefer Vayikra. Whenever you see an Egel, a cow or calf that's brought as a Chatas, that's the Egel Zav. And whenever you see a Sayer, a goat, as a Chatas, that represents the Sar Le'izim, referring to Yosef at Tzadik when he was shecht, when he was, he was sold, and they shechted a goat, to put it on the Ksonis Pasim. So Egel is Egel Zav, which is Bein Adam L'Makom. When they violate Avodah Zarah, that's the catchphrase for Bein Adam L'Makom. And then the Sa'ir, goat, reminds us of Mechiras Yosef, when they shechted the Sir Izim, that was a violation of Bein Adam L'Chavero. So those are the two basic categories. So the Meshech Chachma explains that whenever a person does a violation of Bein Adam L'Makom, so Kadosh Baruch Hu reaches back to the Chait Ha'Egel, And we're always being punished for that cheta ego. We never get rid of it. It's always haunting us. And whenever we do a violation of Bein Adam L'Chavero, we're also trying to do a constant kapara for Mechiras Yosef. So those are the two elements. So Rav Chanan Wasserman asked the following question. Why is it true throughout history, the Jews were always plagued with the non-Jews accusing us of these blood libels? That we kill non-Jewish babies, we take their blood and put it in our matzah. It's a very strange thing. Happened time and time again throughout history. What was the reason for this? And Rav Chanan says there must be a midah keneged midah. There's midah keneged midah in everything. So why do we deserve such a punishment that they're accusing us of blood libels and we're being killed for blood libels? It's such a strange thing. There must be some truth, something behind that. So what Rav Chanan Wasserman says is as follows. He says that the Midah Keneged Midah is that Mechiras Yosef, when we sold Yosef at Tzaddik and we shechted Asir Ezim, so that blood of the Mechiras Yosef is the blood libel that takes place many generations that we were experiencing throughout history. It was the Midah Keneged Midah of the lack of Avas Chinam that we had. So he says, particularly when it comes to Leil Seder, we're going to bring everything back together in just a moment. We do two tevilos. We dip twice at the Seder. One tevila is to remind us of the Gullus. Why did we come down to Mitzrayim in the first place? It is because when it came to Yosef et Tzadik, Vayit belu es ksones bedam. They took the ksones pas and put it into dam. That was a tevila. So that was the Gullus that led us to Mitzrayim. That's one of the tevilos we do on Leil Seder. The second tevila we do at Leil Seder is to remind us of the Tevilas Dam we did on the doorposts when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. That was the Geula. So what happens? We're in Mitzrayim. Now we're celebrating Pesach yet again, another Nisan. Here we are, Pesach. And we had a Geula, and we're davening for the Geula lawsuit. We know the future redemption is going to take place in Nisan. Here we are. It's ready now, I think, Vav, right? Vav Nisan tonight. And there is no Geula yet. So why don't we have Geula? Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because of Sin Aschinam. So the fact that there's no Beis HaMikdash, that means Sin Aschinam, which goes back to Mechiras Yosef, which is Bein Adam L'Chavero, and the Sar Le'izim, we're still struggling with that particular Aveira. So he says, that's the whole idea of Halachmani, of Hachnas Zorchim. Why are we still here in Gullus? Because Mechiras Yosef, the Aveira of Bein Adam L'Chavero. We're trying to now overcome that and counter that with having an overemphasis, trying to overwhelm our Seder with Hachnasas Orchim. So that's why we have the idea of Halachmanya, Hachnasas Orchim, Maoschitim, to hopefully overcome the Sinas Chidim and be a kapara for Mechiras Yosef, ultimately bringing the Geula L'Asim. Fine, let's now move to number three. Number three of my daughter this afternoon, they had a lot of free time on their hands. I imagine as many of your children may have had. So she helped me with cutting and pasting. She made one mistake here, so you see a few arrows crossing over here, so I apologize. But other than that, she really did a great job. So if you look at number three, this is the Taras Moshe, that was the Chassam Sofer. On the Chassam Sofer's Chidushim al HaTorah, he has a few pages on the Haggadah in Sefer Vayikra. So he asks, again, one of the basic questions many Mepharshim ask as to where is their bracha on the Magid. We say Magid, it's a Vigad to Levincha, it's a mitzvah deraisa. Shouldn't there be a bracha? So one of the answers that are given by the Mepharshim is the bracha is Asher Ga'alnu. When do we say a bracha of Asher Ga'alnu? After all of Magid. So why would we say a bracha after the fact? You have to say a bracha on the mitzvah over Lisiyasan before performing a mitzvah. So says the Chassam Sofer that the Gemara in Pesachim tells us that when it comes to Magid, Maschil Beginus Mesayim B'Shevach. We start off with the terrible history we had of being over the Avodah Zarah, and then we move on throughout history to the point where we were over the Hashem. So he says, just like there's a mitzvah, Chayiv Adam Liros Et Atzmo Kilu Hu Yatzam Mitzrayim, that there's an obligation to envision ourselves leaving Mitzrayim, so too we have to have an obligation to imagine as if we were doing Avodah Zarah. If we're maschil begunus, says the Chassam Sofer, we have to imagine we're over the Avodah Zarah. And if we're really over the Avodah Zarah, well, over the Avodah Zarah, don't say brachas. So when we start the Magid, we're not Jewish. We're over there, others are. It's not shaykh to say a mitzvah. It's not shaykh to say a bracha. But as we go through Magid and we go through the whole Agada, so now we went through a process of Geirus, and now we're Geirim. When do Geirim say bracha? When they go to the mikvah, when do they say the bracha? After the fact. So just like Tevilas Ger, we say a bracha only after coming up for the mikvah, so too you only say a bracha after completing Magid, which is supposed to again be Ki'ilu Yatza Mimitrayim, from Ovdei Avodah Zarah to now being Ovdei Hashem. And he brings a raya, because we start off again with Halachmania. We're not eating the matzah, but we're supposed to. It's the idea of giving the matzah out. But we haven't sent any brachas yet. How can we eat matzah if there are no brachas? Elamai, we see, because at that point in the beginning, we're maschil b'gnus, we're over the avodah zara. We don't keep mitzvahs, we don't say brachas, we eat without saying brachas, and that's why we start off with eating bread, not really, but talking about eating bread without actually saying a bracha. Now this is a huge, huge idea, in that the entire process of the Seder, there's a geirus going on here. That's another idea to work on, but that's just what comes out from this Chassam Sofer. This next, number four, is also the Taras Moshe Chassam Sofer. I actually saw this quoted in a beautiful Sefer called Teferis Moshe. Someone gave it to me as a gift recently. It's a beautiful Sefer. It's Kedai for everyone to learn. I don't know if you can really find them anymore. His name is Rabbi Katz. He lives in Borough Park. And he's a beautiful Sefer on Emuna. Rav Weinberger said he has a whole set on Chumash also, which I need to get my hands on. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece of talking about Emuna. And he really understands people and chinuch. So if you get your hands on the Sefer, I would recommend it. I'd actually want to start maybe a shir on this. It's such a beautiful reading in Hebrew. So he quoted this Chassam Sofer as follows. And there's a huge lesson in chinuch. The whole idea of the Sefer, by the way, the Hakdama, is describing how people just do mitzvahs without any feeling, without any hargasha. Just kind of go about, because we are told to do mitzvahs, but there's no feeling, and the rabbis don't let us ask questions to understand things. We just do things because that's what we're told to do. So he brought this Chassam Sofer to say how wrong that is. So he's going on the idea of the Rasha. This is number four. V'af ata hakes shinav, you're supposed to hit out his teeth, the teeth of the Rasha. So he quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, avos achlu bosar, that the fathers eat or fed bosar. Bosar is a grape that's underripe. It's not ripe yet. It's underdeveloped grape. And vishnei banim tikana, and the teeth, I think sheine banim, the teeth of the sons you knock out. So what's the feeding of the bosar, feeding of the grapes, have to do with knocking out the teeth of your children? So he says, we'll read this one inside because it's so powerful. Einenu ro'os, our own eyes could see. Ki avos, our fathers, afal pi shelo saru midvar Hashem, our fathers, our grandfathers kept the mitzvahs, they kept the Torah. V'osim kol mitzvah sayim, mitzvahs anashim milumda. They do all the mitzvahs, they do it really by rote, because they're told to, milumda. They're regular, they're it's habitual to them. Aval ein shomim, but we as their children don't hear. V'lo lomdim, we don't learn. V'lo yishmal piyam shum dvar Torah or musar. Our fathers wear tefillah, and they put a talis, they daven. They say motzi, they say kiddush, but they never talk in Torah. They never talk about this figure called God. They never mention Hashem. They never give us musar to put us on the right track. Ve'enu makabel pnei shum mora Torah. They don't accept any rabbanim. They make fun of rabbis. Va'banim sheinim roim v'shomim me'avoseim shem shemaim shagur b'fiim. They don't see their parents speaking about Hashem and emuna b'tachon v'lo ra likach musar. They don't take any musar. So lahem, so what are the children seeing? Nechshav ma'isav oseihem, they see their father's actions, shigon v'shidus. It's a joke what they're doing. They don't even know what they're doing. They're just wrapping their hands in some leather straps. Then v'shishomrim Shabbos, they keep Shabbos. They don't even know what Shabbos represents. Now we're jumping that funny crossover now, the bottom right with that arrow. U'menichen tefillin, put tefillin on, v'edam ochen nevelos, they don't eat nevelos, they do everything right. They do nothing wrong. But still, what happens to the children of these parents? They leave Klal Yisrael. You can't make them, it's not their fault. You can't blame these children. That their parents, their fathers fed them apikorsis, like a person feeds an underdeveloped grape, shelo nigmar pri haminas etzlam adayim. You're feeding them the Torah mitzvahs without any feel, without any meaning to it. Ubneim makeshineim, and their children knocking out their teeth. Hainu, demirame is balhagada la'avi arasha. the Baal Gad is warning the father of the Rasha, Shebno Yoshev al Shulchano. The son sitting at your table in a rush, when he goes off the derech, there's no one to blame other than yourself, says the Chassam Sofer. Because he's sitting on your table of a kofar be'ikr, v'zeh, in the parentheses, the fishahoti es atzma mina klal, kofar be'ikr. He removed himself from the klal, v'af atah, oh, even you did, perish gam atah aviv, the father did as well. Says the Chassam Sofer, when a parent just does mitzvahs because he's supposed to do mitzvahs, but he doesn't have any feeling, there's no warmth, there's no essence to it, then the children are going to pick up on that, and then they end up going off the derech. And that's the Musar from the Taras Moshe, and that's the lesson being learned from the father of the Rasha. Okay, let's move now to number 5. This is the Imre Shefer. I didn't write it on your piece, but the Imre Shefer was written by the Netziv's Haggadah. So this Netziv, this is actually the footnote to the Netziv. In the Haggadah itself, he gives the answer, but a very, very shorthand. In the footnote, it quotes from the Hamak Davar, the Netziv's Perish Al HaTorah, where he elaborates on the concept he's about to present. So what's the idea? So Imre Shefer asks a question, which again, many Mefarshim struggle with, as to, it's really a question found in the Rishonim, why do we have Dal Kosos of wine? Why not 4 pieces of matzah, 4 pieces of marah, 4 pieces of anything else? Why dafka do they choose yain? So if you look at the underline, halo yafe hiksha Mordechai, wasn't it a very good question that Mordechai asked? Lama ze kavu arba kosa shayain velo arba mine lechem obasar kadoma. Why was wine chosen to represent the 4 kosas? Why not 4 pieces of bread or matzah or 4 pieces of meat? So if you jump down now to the underlines, B'Yisrael shayu mugushamim b'tzuru b'das, they were so involved in Gashmias, in the physical world. V'nis'alu b'meshach mu'at, they elevated themselves little by little. Ad shegila Har Sinai, until they eventually made their way up to Har Sinai. Hainu dal l'shonos shel geula. That's the 4 languages of geula, where he goes on to describe that each level of geula was another step. As they slowly, gradually grown, they grew until they got to Har Sinai. Meaning, they removed from all the civilized Mitzrayim that they were Asik Chomer Levenim, dealing with bricks. So they're no longer building buildings anymore, but they were still Hayu Becheskas Meshubadim, they're still slaves. So then the next pasuk is V'Yitzalti Eschem Me'Avodah. So now they stopped doing the Avodah, they were no longer slaves. Od Salman V'Daitan L'Shevach, but Adain Tachas Mishras HaMelucha. They were still under the control of the government, they weren't slaves anymore. But Makas Bechoros, it became Mamish B'nei Chorim, and then finally it says, V'galti Eschem, and then they were brought up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Har Sinai, V'kachti Eschem, and then I took them away. So the Dal Lashonas Geula describes the steps, these levels, that Klal Yisrael went from being slaves of building, to slaves of not building, to free, to being taken to Har Sinai. So says the Netziv, that's why wine was chosen. The last few lines here of this paragraph, the kavu lizikaron arba kosos, they established that this remembrance be from dal kosos, basher she'ein maichul mashke, there's no food or drink, that's mishane toer panov v'daitel she'odom, that's able to change a person's face or mind, like kemoshtias yain, ha'mesameach levu metiv God, that wine has the ability to change a person's face, his mindset, so just like the Dal Lashonas Geula was an elevation one step at a time, so to each time a person drinks wine, he's taken to a new state of being on a high of some sort, a state of simcha, that's why dafka dal kosos. As a side point, Rav Shlomo Zalman uses this idea, halacha l'maisa, he says maybe this is a reason why grape juice won't work for dal kosos, because grape juice does not have that effect, it doesn't bring simcha about. Okay, those who like gematria, this number 6 is an amazing gematria. Had to throw at least one in here. So number 6, this is I found this quote in Otos HaTorah. Otos HaTorah is a wonderful sefer. Those who don't have it should certainly get it. He has on Chumash and each of the Svarim, he has on each of the Yamin Tovim. It's pretty much a likut of a great Divrei Torah throughout all the calendar. So he quotes here the Remez Nifla from Rabbi Shimshon Me'ashtropli Zetzal, the following. I'm going to read through the underlines here, which is pretty much the entire piece here. Sheyakov Bikesh Legalos Hesakech Levanov. We know the beginning of Vayechi, the end of Sefer Bereishis. Yaakov wanted to reveal the Ketz, which literally means the end of times, to his children. But Nistal Kamimenu Shechina, the Gemara explains that the Shechina left him and he was very concerned that maybe his children weren't following the Derech Hashem. So that's the Maimer Chazal. So Hiksha Mefarshim, the Mefarshim ask, Madua hayu b'Mitzrayim rak masayim v'eser shanim? Why do we only spend 210 years in Mitzrayim? V'tir to, they give the following answer. Ki ha'achim pagmu b'shem ha'kadosh baruch hu kishem achres Yosef. Those who learn Pnimius, by the way, in Kabbalah, Chassidus, everything in this world is really a Shem Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei, whatever name it is, Shem Hashem, Shemos Hashem all over the place. Everything is a deep, the soul of everything is really Shem Hashem. Just as an example, when it comes to Tzedakah, a great example is Tzedakah is also a Shem Hashem. How is Tzedakah Shem Hashem? So they explain in the Svarim that the Prut is a Yud. The Yud is the Yud Kei Vav Kei. So Yud in my hand is a Hey. So Yud in my hand is Hey, the five fingers. I extend my hand to the Ani, that's a Vav. I drop it into his hand, he's a Hey. That's Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey into the hand. So there's Shemos Hashem all over the place in every mitzvah, everything that we do. So the Chazal tell us that when they sold Yosef at Tzadik, so they were pogam somehow in the Shem Hashem. The Tzarf was a Shechina Imam, and they included HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow with that. The Shechina, the fact that a Shechina Hashem allowed that to take place, somehow the Shechina was involved, whatever that means. Which Shem Hashem was a pogam from this event of Mechiras Yosef? V'shemosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ekye Aleph Hey, Yud Hey, which is the Gematria of 21. So Ekya was the Shem Hashem that they had violated when they did Mechiras Yosef. So who was involved in the selling? Well, there were nine brothers plus the Shechina. That's 10. So 10 times 21 of Ekya is what? 210. That's the Gematria of 210 years that they spent in Mitzrayim. So for the violation, the Avera of 210 of Mechiras Yosef, they spent 210 years in Mitzrayim. Now, look at the next paragraph. Yaakov rotza legalos et haketz. He wanted to show, reveal the ketz, the end of time, but he knew that Bnei Yisrael was, they chatu in the Shem Hashem, but he didn't know that the Shechina was involved in that. He just thought the nine sons of his were involved. So he only thought nine sons times 21 ekya. What's nine times 21? 189. So after 189, the next year is 190, would be the year of Geula. That's Kate. Kate is 190. 190, he thought that Kate was going to be 190 because he only did nine sons times 21. He didn't realize that Shechina was involved, so that's what it means. He wanted to be Megala, the Kate, 190, but he didn't realize that Estalka meant a Shechina. He missed the Shechina. He didn't realize the Shechina was the 10th person or 10th being involved, which really led to 210. Last paragraph, Moshe Rabbeinu also knew that when they sold Yosef at Tzadik, that there was a pagam in the Shem Hashem, but he thought it was a different Shem Hashem. He thought it was Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the Gematria of 226. 26 is the Gematria of Yud Kei Vav Kei. So that's what it says, 26 times 10. He knew there were 10 people, 9 sons, 9 brothers, and the Shechina. So 226 times 10 is 260. So that's what the pasuk means in the last paragraph. Ayar Hashem kisar liros. He saw Hashem notice that Moshe Rabbeinu thought the sar, which is 260, that the gula would only come after 260. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's miscalculation. So what did he say back? Hashem said, "No, you have the wrong Shem Hashem. It's not Yud Kei Vav Kei. What Shem Hashem did Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu? What was he? Ekya. Ekya was the Shem Hashem." If you use Ekya as the calculation, then you're going to come to 21 times 10, getting to the math of 210, which is how long we spent in Mitzrayim. Okay, let's go now to number 7. This is also found in Otzos HaTorah. There's a beautiful brisker Rav here. I think you know who mentioned this a few weeks ago. We had Rabbi Gottlieb here for Shabbos. He mentioned this idea in Shal Shudas. Those who were not here, it's new. Those who were, it would be, I guess, a nice review. So the Gemara tells us in Sota that there are three individuals who are there giving Eitzah to Paro what to do with the Jews. What should we do with them? There's Bilam, there's Eov, and there's Yisrael. So each one did something different. Bilam gave the advice to kill them. Eov sat there silent. So firstly, Bilam, who gave advice, was killed. Eov, who sat there silent, was struck. He was stricken with a Yisurin. And Yisro, who ran away, he was ochet to have his great-great-grandchildren learn and teach in Lishchas Agazis in the Beis HaMikdash. So I understand, asks the Brisker Rav, I understand Bilam gave advice to kill them, to enslave them. He was killed. I understand that Yisro, he had a tremendous kavod and he ran from the kavod because he didn't want to see the people be killed. He was granted a great schar. But what did Eov do wrong? He was quiet. He's played it safe. So for playing it safe, you're going to be punished with Yisurim. And we know Eov didn't have Stam Yisurim. He had the worst Yisurim you could possibly imagine. Was it so bad to stay silent? So the answer is yes. If you look at the halfway down the page here, Ela tirit shehevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisurim al Eov kidei sheyizak mara al Yisurav. He wanted to hear Eov scream a little bit. Be a little empathetic. A little sensitive to what was going around the people, the Jewish people. Sometimes, if you look at the last paragraph, Mikan Nilman Maser Otsim, there's a tremendous lesson to be learned here. Pamim Adam Shemea O Roe Chil Hashem. Sometimes a person might hear or see a Chil Hashem, a Talmud Chacham being disgraced, or something else terrible happening. And he stands there, just watches, stays silent. He doesn't intervene, he doesn't say a thing. And he says, what good is my scream, my rebuke going to do? No one's going to listen to me. If I scream out to Hashem, I scream out to the guy, nothing's going to change. What's the point in this? And says the Brisker Rav, that's incorrect. The real answer is, even though your scream may not have any impact, it shows your feeling. It shows that something bothered you. It was painful for you to see what was going on. So Eov, he sat there silent. He didn't care. He wanted to protect himself so he didn't get into trouble. He didn't care that an entire nation was going to be killed, that an entire nation was going to be enslaved. So that's why he was stricken with Yisurim, because he didn't have that empathy that he should have had. So when you hear something go wrong, even though it doesn't impact you, and even though there's nothing you could do about it, a person should have some level of feeling and remorse for the pain that a fellow Jew is going through. Let's go now to the last page here, number 8. Okay, number 8 is Rav Schwab on the Makos, and Makos Shchin. He's going on the pasuk of Zachas and Esa She'asal Lokech Miriam Bederech B'tzeischem Mimitzrayim, that we should remember that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Miriam on the way to leaving Mitzrayim. What's the relevance? And we know that it took place in the Midbar, but why mention Bederech B'tzeischem Mimitzrayim? Why mention that? So read to the paragraph inside together. Inyan has Kiro Khan, this mentioning of Bederech B'tzeischem Mimitzrayim, the location, Yesh Lomar, it's a very nice idea here. Shiaf Shamar Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Shas Tseisam Mimitzrayim B'Chaniyasam B'Mara. In Parshat B'Shalach, when we were sitting in the place near Mara, Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, Ko Amachla She'asamti Mitzrayim La'asim Alecha. All the machlas, all the terrible machos that I put upon Mitzrayim, I'm never going to give you. V'Achas Me'amachalos, what was one of the machos? It was Shchin. Shchin Mitzrayim, the boils that Mitzrayim experienced. Shein La'Rafua. A shchin that has no refuah, that was a type of makah that Mitzrayim, they experienced. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising us that lo sasim alech, I'm not going to give you shchin that doesn't have any refuah. Im kain, kasha, eich nitztara Miriam. How can Miriam get saras? Saras is a type of shchin. If you look in the psukim, it's a type of shchin. Shekameduma shegam hi kabbalah zos. So what did Aaron say? He said, I don't understand. How can my sister get saras? Sherei Amar Aaron said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Baloscha, Al Nasihi Kimest. Don't make my sister be like a mace. She'ein refula makasa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave us a haftacha. You gave us a promise that you're never going to give one of the makos to Klaisa. So tsaras, he's assuming, is a type of shchin. It's a type of shchin that has no refuah. So how could you give my sister Miriam this shchin that doesn't have a refuah? That was the taina. So what's the answer? So says the Rav Schwab, Ela karchach kishikadibra lashon hara lo ho'ilala haftacha. You're right. Normally speaking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not give shchin that does not have a refuah. A shchin below refuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't give. But when a person speaks lashon hara, then this haftacha doesn't apply. If you don't keep your word, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't keep his word. So then, speaking lashon hara, lo ho'ila lahaftacha, the promise won't be effective. She'natzlu mikol cholei madvei Mitzrayim. You're not going to be protected from all the illnesses, the sicknesses, and diseases and makos that were Mitzrayim. And that's exactly what it means in this pasuk. V'zeh she'asa Hashem l'Miriam b'derech b'teizch Mitzrayim. Meaning what? Afshin is baruch hu az b'shmira mikol amachla. even though Klal Yisrael was already promised from Hashem that they're going to be saved from all the machlos, Asher Sham B'Mitzrayim, Sam B'Mitzrayim, when you speak Lashon Hara, that's not going to protect you. That's why Dafka Miriam, in this context, Asher B'Derech B'Teich Mitzrayim, you left Mitzrayim, but nonetheless, since you don't speak, you don't keep your word, you don't protect your mouth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to protect his word, and he will give a person a shchin, shelo, she'en la'refuah. Okay, let's look at number 9 now. Number 9 is going on a pasuk we say in Hallel. We say it all the time, we don't pay attention to what it means, and there's a beautiful Maharal which gives insight to the psukim of Kol Goyim Svavuni B'Shem Hashem Ki Amilam, which means all the Goyim are going to Svavuni, are going to surround me, B'Shem Hashem Ki Amilam, with Hashem Hashem I'm going to destroy them. Then we say Savuni Gam Svavuni, almost exactly the same thing, B'Shem Hashem Ki Amilam, they're going to surround us and surround us again. And then the third pasuk is Savuni Kidvorim Doache. They're going to surround us like bees are pushing, Doache is to push, like bees push, just like an Ish Kotzim, just like a fire burns through thorny bushes. And then B'Shem Hashem Ki Amrilam, with Hashem's name, we're going to be protected. So what are these three psukim in a row of Savuni, Savuni, and Savuni? So the Maral says there are three types of nations that we could possibly face in this world. He said the three nations are, there's one type of nation that, you know, any nation, it's not against us in particular, against the Jews, against Israel. Many nations get, fight with each other. Whether it's Russia or South Korea, Iran, they fight with every nation. Lav Davka, Am Yisrael. So there's one type of nation which they fight with anyone who they can encounter. Let's call South Korea. South Korea would be a great model of they get along with no one. Everyone goes against them, they go against everyone else. That's South Korea. That's the first type of nation that could possibly surround us, not because we're Jews, just because they fight with everyone. That's the first pasuk of Kol Goyim Svevuni B'Shem Hashem Ki Amilam. But then there's another type of nation which is out to get us. Let's call Iran. Iran's out to get us. They're not against every nation, but they're against Klal Yisrael, they're against Israel. They want to wipe Israel off the map. So then they're the second type of nation that's Dafka out to get Am Yisrael. And that's the second pasuk of Sivavuni, Savuni, Gam Sivavuni B'Shem Hashem Ki Amilam. But then there's yet a third and stronger type of nation that's not only against us, but they work with us in such an interesting way. Chazal tells us, says the Maral, that there's some nations, he doesn't tell us which nations they are, but let's assume Amalek is probably a great example, I think. It's a nation that is only successful when we are failing, and when we're successful, they fail. We have this inverse relationship with them. So when the Nazis were on top of the world, we were on the bottom of the world. But then when we came up, now they no longer exist. So anytime we face Amalek, we have that type of inverse relationship. And that's a stronger hisnagus against us. So that's the third pasuk here when it says, Savuni kidvorm kidoachi keich kotzim. That just like bees are pushing through and the fire pushes through the kotzim, this nation wants the mamish crush us until we're nothing because their success depends on our failure. So that's the third type of nation. So he says that these three psukim are describing three types of nations that go against us. To review, one is a nation that goes against anyone, lav dafka, the Jews. There's one nation that goes against specifically the Jews, and there's one nation that goes against us, and their success depends on our failure and destruction. And the final one, number 10, is found in the Berach Haim. Berach Haim was Rabbi Biederman. Those who don't have the Sefer, I encourage you, get his Sfarim. He has a Sefer on all the Yamin Tovim. He sends out emails. I don't get it, though, on Al Torah, but I imagine in probably a year or two, he'll probably come out with the whole set on this Chumash as well. But he has beautiful Divrei Torah and beautiful stories. So we'll finish off with a nice piece from Shvo Chamascha, number 10. The Kosver Amah, Shiyesh Omer, there are those who hold the Shvo Chamascha, Ulef Toach HaPesach, you should open up the door when sing Shvo Chamascha, and we sing Eliyahu HaNavi. Kedei Lizkor Shu Leil Shimurim, to remind ourselves as we open the door that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected us in Mitzrayim, he's going to protect us again this night of Pesach. Ubezachus emunazu, with the trust that we have in Hashem, Yavo Mashiach, Mashiach will come, V'yishbo chamasu al ha'akum, he's going to pour out his anger over the non-Jews, V'cheinog, and that's the practice we have in all the homes. Do the Sfarim do this as well? Do the Sfarim do this? The Sfarim, you have this also, right? Okay, I know this is Ramah, says Ashkenazim, but I imagine Sfarim do this as well. Ukayotzi bezeh, Kasa Rabbeinu Ravon, Min HaRishonim. One of the Rishonim says, B'sifra HaManig, Minag Bekama Mekomos. There's a practice in many, many locations. B'leil HaSeder, Einen Noalin HaChadarim SheYishanim Sham B'leil Pesach. They leave the doors unlocked. They'll go to sleep without the alarm on. They'll go to sleep without the doors being locked. Why? Ki b'nisan nigalu b'nisan asidin l'higayel. We were redeemed in Nisan, and we will be redeemed in Nisan yet again. Vim yavo Eliyahu, if Eliyahu comes, yimatzei ha-pesach pasuch, he'll find the door wide open, he could swing it open, v'neitel l'kras v'bimheir, we could go out and greet him quickly, v'lo nitzarech l'ptoch adels, we don't have to even turn the lock. That's how ready we are. We can just open the door, turn the knob, but we don't have to turn the lock even. We have such trust and faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this will happen. Leil Seder. So now Rabbi Biderman himself wants to add on to the Ravan, the Ef Shalomer Ode. We could add a little bit further onto this. She'osin kein l'zeicha she'bepesach mitzrayim ochlu b'nei Yisrael as a Pesach. We could also, this idea is to remind us of the nature, the way in which B'nai Yisrael ate the Pesach, kishem muchanim u'muzumanim latzeis. That the whole idea is to always be prepared, always be ready to be redeemed, because that's how they ate the Pesach Mitzrayim as well. As it says in the Pasuk, Kakosava, V'kacha tochelu also, this is how you eat it, masnechem chagurim nalechem b'raglechem makelchem b'yedchem. Have your pants ready and your shoes on and your sticks are ready. You eat the Pesach ready to leave Mitzrayim. Hainu. They were prepared to leave La'alta right away. When they were given the green light, they were ready to run. Even though they were busy eating, they were already dressed, their coats on, and their bags packed, without having to lay even a moment. Hachanami, just like that took place in Mitzrayim that way. Here as well, Machinim es hakol, we have to prepare everything. Lebias Mashiach tidkenu b'layil hazeh. We need to prepare and leave the doors unlocked, so we're ready to leave the moment Eliyahu tells us. We have to try to process this. The afalpi shebirega kimimra, even though with a moment's notice, yachol ha'adam lislabesh biverg adav, you can get dressed right away, just put on a shirt and pants and you're ready in 10 seconds. Ulital mekala, take your stick with you, biyado latzeit l'mitzrayim, they could have left right away. It took maybe extra 10 seconds, they could have. Why do they have to get dressed beforehand? Mikol makom, nonetheless, Amr Torah, the Torah tells us, Sheyehei hakol mezumim biyado, everything has to be ready in your hand. V'hainu, shal ha'adam lios muchan legamrei legula, that a person has to be completely ready, not even to have to wait 5 seconds to get dressed. Shelo yitztarech lismamea af lerega kememra be'eis hagula, not to wait any second at all. V'nilma mizeh, we can learn from this, lididon, to apply to ourselves, begalus harucha, in this very long galus we find ourselves in now, v'hakash yazu. Kulanu, all of us here, miyachlim u'metzapin, we're all anticipating Masai Titzmach Keren Yeshua, saying when that Yeshua is going to finally come. What do we have to do? Shetzarach kol echa lulko to leso mitzvos, to gather together all the mitzvos that we can. U'maisim tovim kidei lios muchan muzuman tamid l'gulas olam, that we should be prepared. So the idea of leaving the door unlocked that night was to show that we're ready to go. We don't want to waste a second of having to turn the lock. That's our goal here, to not waste a moment. Vim lo achshav emesai, if not now, then when will it be? So we should always be ready, but particularly Leil Seder, to have everything packed, doors unlocked and ready for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to send Eliyahu Navi to tell us that the Mashiach is here. So with that, we should be zocha to Mashiach Tikenu B'mehev Yameinu. Amen.